Blog Talk Radio.
You just entered the arena where the thoughts and ideas of warriors, men and women of honor, are expressed and respected. This is the Kuruba Shikai Karate Association International Radio Show. We carry on the legacy and work of Grandmaster Ferdinand T. Pigard, a late great founder of the Kuruba Shikai Karate Dukenpo system, to make the benefits of martial arts available to all. On this program, our most important guest is you. In this hour, we'll be discussing the world of martial arts, competition, defense systems, contributing to a brighter future, expert guests, but most of all, taking your comments and questions. To join the live discussion or listen by phone, dial 347-989-1016 or on the web, www.kbkkia.com, then click the KBK Kai Radio Show link and listen in online. And now, please welcome the president of Kuruba Shikai Karate Association International, 8th degree black belt, instructor, United States Marine Corps veteran, and one of the first generation black belts of Grandmaster Ferdinand T. Bigard, the founding father of the Kuruba Shikai Karate Dukenpo martial arts system, Hal T. Haywood.
Push! Welcome to the Kuruba Shikai Karate Association. I want to first start by welcoming our family and fans of KBK, new and old, to practicing and aspiring martial artists of all systems, styles, and cultures. I want to especially acknowledge and extend a warm welcome to Mrs. June Bigard and Brittany Bigard Brown, the beloved wife and daughter of our late great teacher, Grandmaster Ferdinand T. Bigard Jr., the founding master of the Kuruba Shikai Karate Dukenpo martial arts system, which we practice, teach, and continue to build. Martial arts, although originally conceived to condition the mind and body of warriors for the defense of honor, it has evolved and blossomed over the centuries into a powerful tool to unify and motivate, to forge lifelong friendships, and create opportunities from some of the most challenging circumstances imaginable. Grandmaster Bigard understood the power of martial arts to liberate students, to attain what seemingly impossible, and to achieve what our surroundings might suggest is out of reach. We are thankful for God's grace in allowing us all to unite as warriors against ignorance, hopelessness, division, and fear. I believe all share in the belief that the future is bright for us. KBK and the martial arts world, our children and our world. We are strong of mind and body, able to listen and learn from all those who have something to share and are unselfishly willing to give and sacrifice ourselves and our skills for the betterment of others. None of us can or have succeeded alone, so we welcome all thoughts and contributions of all of you caring and dedicated friends who share the KBK vision, regardless of fighting style or martial arts system. Push!
Hello and welcome again to the Kuruba Shikai Karate Association International Radio Show. Martial arts is the art of warriors. Since ancient times, people of almost every culture and geography have dedicated themselves to organizing and honing their fighting skills in an effort to maintain a readiness to rise to whatever challenges they or their nation may face. In many cases, it was a grueling, ascetic lifestyle with little else to look forward to that, other than ending their life in the honor of a heroic and a glorious battle. Today, of course, it's quite different. Fortunately, while conflict on any level can still exist, there are many alternatives to war and individual duels to settle disputes. Well, that said, there are still individuals who would use physical force to harm or otherwise take advantage of those who they determine might be easy prey for them. I'm Master Dudley Craig, your host for the KBK Kai radio show. And in our series on training methods and proper consideration for their application, today's show is entitled Self-Defense Training and Training Self-Defense. It's more than just a play on words, because today we'll be discussing what potential students who are only looking for a short-term program with a singular focus on self-defense should look for. On the other side of the coin, we'll also be talking about some of the considerations instructors should make when planning to add a program that's purely aimed at self-defense to their regimen of teaching. Today we on our panel today Master Derek Alexander is with us today. Master Derek, how are you this evening?
Just fine.
All right.
How's it going?
Wonderful. It's good to have you on the show today. I know others will be coming in, but I want to just start with a brief question, a couple of questions, and I just want to get an initial reaction on those questions before we go to our first break, and then come back and we'll talk about some of these things in depth. So the first question is. And I ask you to answer it first, and I'll even maybe chime in on it. Is what do you think is the balance, or when people talk about self defense classes and so forth, percentage wise, how much should be devoted to the psychological aspect of self defense, and how much to the actual physical techniques?
I think it's a large percentage in terms of the psychological balance towards self-defense and learning self-defense. The physical aspect of it will, of course, come as you exert that physicality and learning in a class setting. The psyche of it is that, you know, you have to convince yourself that you're able to do it. Your body can get in a certain condition to do the self-defense techniques that's administered in the class. So that's the biggest challenge, I believe. The psychology of it and overcoming that. Some people say, "Oh, well, I don't think I can do anything like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think mm-hmm. I can learn that." You know, that type of self-defense.
Funny, some of those people show up for class, too.
Well, yeah.
Some of those people show up
yeah.
for self-defense classes, and they believe that. But I just wanted to crack things open with that. And we are going to go to a break first, and then we'll come back, and we're going to drill a little bit deeper. For my part, I would say I agree with you that definitely the psychological aspect of it, which has to do with your awareness, situational awareness, your attitude toward the fear of someone, of having to confront someone, and so forth, and your confidence levels and that sort of thing. There are a lot of parts to the psychological piece of it before you even get to being able to execute the physical. So, yeah, well, we are definitely going to talk about that more. But right now we're going to go and take a break. And when we come back from the break, we'll start to drill in. I want to give our callers a chance to call in on the line, 347-989-1016. We're open for your comments and questions. We welcome you to the show. As always, this is the Kurobushi Kai Karate Association International Radio Show. We'll see you when we get back.
There are many important numbers in our lives. A birth date, the address where a cherished family event will happen. Winning lotto numbers would be great to have, but there is one number that we should all have at our fingertips. That number is 800-222-1222, because that is the number to the Poison Center anywhere in the United States. 800-222-1222 will get you immediate assistance for exactly what to do in the event that someone is poisoned. Children 6 and under are, of course, at risk, so we keep those cleaning chemicals locked out of reach. But did you know that twice the number of children are poisoned each year by cosmetic and personal care items? There's a substantial number of accidental poisonings among teenagers due to sometimes well-meaning prescription drug sharing. That's why everyone, especially everyone with a phone, should have 800-222-1222 saved and readily available. The next successful rescue could be yours.
Be able to predict how long we'll be around, but we can have a positive impact on the quality of those years. Healthy choices mean the lifestyle in which we make a conscious decision to eat the purest, most nutrition-rich foods available. It means avoiding smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, and not using unprescribed or unneeded drugs. And one of the healthiest habits that we can develop and maintain is regularly scheduled exercise, tailored to our own abilities and goals, because the body should be moving, staying flexible and staying strong. Your heart, lungs, limbs, and brain will be very grateful. And you know what? So will your loved ones, because fitness is for life.
You're responsible and love your family. I'll bet you have an emergency contact number readily available. And hats off to you, because you should. But do you have an emergency plan that you've discussed and practiced with your household? Does each member of your family know what to do and where to go in case of a fire, natural disaster, or other emergency? Does everyone know how to use a fire extinguisher and understand basic escape techniques? If not, then get busy. This small investment of time and effort can pay off in ways far too great to measure. If you need some assistance, that's okay. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, has a family emergency planning sheet for free download. You can link to it and print it out from the KBKKIA.com's website. Also, take a moment and go to ready.gov/make a plan. The site is filled with ideas that will literally get you going if the need arises.
Well, we want to welcome you back to the show. We just came from a short break. As you know, this is the KBK Kai Radio Show. To call in with questions or comments, dial 347-989-1016. That's 347-989-1016, and we welcome your comments and your questions. Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, and as we were speaking about before the break, we were talking about over the last several weeks different types of training and the appropriate application of training techniques. And today we're talking about self-defense training. Now, why it sets apart so differently is because many of the people who come to instructors for self-defense training are not looking for a lifelong involvement with martial arts. Many of us who have studied for many years, either on and off or continuously, have a whole different mindset when we approach our training, and that is a continuum or continuation. Some people are just saying, I want to learn something that might help me to keep safe or might help me to be able to escape in a dangerous situation. And they approach it just that way. So we're talking right now about two sides of this. First, from the potential student's point of view, what things they might want to consider when they're thinking about doing this kind of training. And then later on, we want to talk about, if we have time in this show, or we'll move on to the next show, to talk about what instructors who have perhaps a full-time school and who are teaching ongoing students may want to add an element of a self-defense class or workshop to their training regimen. And we want to talk, kind of address both those sides. Right, so right now we're talking about just from the student shopping, so to speak, for a class, self-defense class. And the question that we posed before the break was what the balance should be between the psychological part of the training, that is the mental preparation part of the training, and the physical technique part of the training. Grandmaster Haywood has joined us since the break. And I'm going to pose that question to him. Grandmaster Haywood, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful. It's always a pleasure. This is our president, Grandmaster Haywood. And I put the question to you. When you talk about self-defense training, how much of it should be that physical aspect, learning techniques, and how much of it should be that mental preparation training?
Well, from my experience, I think that you should prepare your students mentally for the training, because these techniques, they take a long time. Some of them take a long time to learn, and some of them are painful to learn. And it's just not the techniques, it's how they feel when you are teaching these students these techniques, because a lot of these students, they come into class, they're thinking, hey, look, I can do this. And then they see that these techniques require a lot more emphasis on the psychological and mental part than it does the physical part, because of the pain, because of the sequences of learning so many different techniques. And you just can't walk in the dojo and learn a technique in one day and think you can go out on the street and it's going to save your life. It doesn't work like that. So I would, I try to give my students something to read. I tell them where to go find information on self-defense, not just rely on the dojo to give them all the mental information. I think they should study, learn what the techniques are for. Don't just take instructor's words on these techniques. Learn what these techniques are about. And as far as the physical part, that goes into repetition. The amount of time it takes to learn and the amount of time, the number of repetitions that you have to do to learn these techniques.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could add to that by saying for sure that there's more, that when you're teaching self-defense, it's more of teaching strategies than before you even get to, or at least alongside the physical techniques, because staying safe in situations, whether they be, people think about street situations all the time, but when you talk about, for example, women's self-defense, the larger percent of women's assailants or attackers are someone that they know. There's a whole different way to approach being mentally prepared for a situation that can turn wrong with someone who you already have a relationship with, all kinds of things that come into play. So I would definitely agree.
Yes. I went to a woman's self-defense training course last week. It was a month-long training course for women on self-defense. And in that self-defense course, I was surprised at the amount of women that showed up for the women's self-defense course. A lot of women out there are looking for self-defense, but when they get there, they don't know all that's involved in it. They're shocked at some of the things that the instructor has to go over that's realistic situations, like grabbing a woman and throwing her to the ground, and some of the verbal things that you have to tell them. So that's preparing them mentally for the techniques that they're about to learn. It's the psychological portion of it. These things are real.
Sure. Well, I want to get both of your reactions, Master Derek and Grandmaster Haywood, both of your reactions on this. I think that I'm going to put forward this. I think some of the things that depictions of women fighting in movies and on television can be somewhat damaging in the way in the expectations that women have of what they'll be able to do in a fight situation, you know, because some things you see people do, it seems, obviously, if there's a camera roll and the director's telling the guy to fall down, when you hit him a certain way, he's going to fall down. But in real life, those situations are quite different. So I think some of that can be a little bit damaging. What do you think about that? Grandmaster Derek, you chime in on that first. Master Derek, John.
Sure. You know, when we watch movies, TV, Hollywood scenes, it depicts a certain type of martial art, I would say. But, you know, I think nowadays most people understand the difference between fact and fiction. And the dojo, I might add, is a place where it's held sacred in terms of learning the martial art, learning self-defense, or what have you. The instructor will take the student and sit down with the student and, you know, share knowledge and wisdom, at least we hope so, you know, to make the fact and fiction separate. You know, once they get into the physicality of the self-defense training, they will see that it's a big difference. You know, you can watch a movie or what have you and see that, you know, their bells and whistles are incorporated in it. But when you're in an actual dojo setting, you know, that's where the reality comes forth and you learn the true essence that's presented to you.
Well, Grandmaster Haywood, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there's any effect that some of the portrayals of women fighting in movies and on television, do you think that has any kind of effect on women's expectations of what they might be able to do in a confrontational situation? Do we still have you, Grandmaster Haywood?
Yes, I think Hello? Yes,
go ahead.
I think that the movies are part of training. It might be subliminal in a way, but once these women watch these movies and these television programs, they see women striking back and winning and getting away from an assailant, that they are learning. But some of those moves that you see, there's a camera, it's not real. But at least that woman saw that technique. You never know. Some of these women, they do know how to fight. Some of these women, they do have confidence in a life or death situation. They will respond, because that's just natural instinct. But as far as the movies or television, I see it as a way that women do see that, hey, I can protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can survive a certain situation. But they still need hands-on training, you know, with those techniques that they see on television.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, that there is a positive aspect to seeing some of the more aggressive behavior or more aggressive types of responses than have been depicted in say years gone by in movies and TVs, that would help to give women confidence in those situations. And I want to just make a little disclaimer on this, that we don't believe that we're not saying that self-defense is only for women, that men and women could benefit from good self-defense training. But as we speak about women who in many cases are the victims of physical attack or attempted physical abuse and attack, they are physically in many cases smaller and perceived by some of the wrong people to be an easier target. So yes, there is a need for them to have for them as a group to have a confidence level and a commitment to a battle or to a situation that says that I'm going to fight back no matter what, and I'm going to use whatever I have.
I think we all need self-defense, men and women, men, women,
sure,
and children. Because, you know, just because you're a man don't mean that you can protect yourself.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that you can protect yourself or protect yourself as well as you think you can.
Sure.
There are men that go to prison and women go to prison, or they're walking down the street from the house. They're leaving their cars, going into the mall going to the mall, and somebody jumps out on you. You know, you don't have a gun or a knife on you all the time. That's where the self-defense comes in. So, and then knowing how to use those self-defense techniques well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we all need self-defense. Even though I'm a grandmaster in martial arts, there's a lot of techniques I don't know. You know, I've been involved in some situations dealing with security and law enforcement where, you have to know what technique to use. That's why you have I would say 100 techniques for every way a person comes at you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Because you never know which one you're going to use.
That's
it
right.
might be a person can come at you, let's just say, with a stick above the head. He can come right through the center of your head for one way and come to you over to your left ear the next. So just that little inch or so difference makes a difference in what technique you have to use.
Yeah, absolutely.
Choice of technique.
Well, that gets back to what we were talking about earlier, that self-defense is more than just the techniques. It's also a strategy. You mentioned, those different situations, like going to and from the car, those points of vulnerability, which a person needs to learn about, those points of where they're most vulnerable or more likely to encounter a situation. And one thing I might add as far as a difference between men and women, I won't say it's easier to teach women that being loud, screaming, and yelling for help is easier, but they might be a little more inclined to than a man would when he's confronted with a situation. And it's a very important element of trying to make it vocal and make the assailant feel like, okay, I picked the wrong person, let me get away from you, which is the objective. It looks like we're going to a break right now, and we will come back, and as you know, our lines are open. The number is 347-989-1016. This is Kulabushi Kai, Karate Association International Radio Show. See you after the break.
We may not be able to predict how long we'll be around, but we can have a positive impact on the quality of those years. Healthy choices mean a lifestyle in which we make a conscious decision to eat the purest, most nutrition-rich foods available. It means avoiding smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, and not using unprescribed or unneeded drugs. And one of the healthiest habits that we can develop and maintain is regularly scheduled exercise, tailored to our own abilities and goals. Because the body should be moving, staying flexible, and staying strong. Your heart, lungs, limbs, and brain will be very grateful. And you know what? So will your loved ones. Because fitness is for life.
Okay, so we're back, and as we were speaking earlier about different things that a potential student of a self-defense class or course could consider, I want to kind of focus a little more narrowly on the very shorter term types of workshops. What do you think? And this is the question I'm going to put to our panel first. What do you think is the benefit that one could get from just a workshop? Let's just say a one-day or maybe just less than a three-day or less workshop on self-defense. Do you think there's a benefit to taking a training like that, and that there's something that can be taken away from that could be helpful in managing a situation where that person might be in need of self-defense training? Go ahead.
Well,
it's going to open up an assortment of ideas to that person that's engaged in that workshop. You know, they're going to practice or learn an exhilarating series of self-defense drills and training in the form of striking, grappling, submission holds, things of that nature. And, you know, they're more than likely going to come out of it rejuvenated, and they're going to have a whole different mindset. And that's where the psychological aspect comes into play, where, you know, it may leave one feeling exhilarated and rejuvenated. You know, hey, I think I can do this. I think I can, you know, take a self-defense class. I think my body can handle it. You know, in terms of adults, children, on the other hand, and young adults, that's a no-brainer for them. You know, my body can handle anything. That's what they'll do. But, you know, a workshop is ideal for one to engage and learn about the self-defense and just to see if it's something that they may want to embark on.
Well, we actually have a caller on the line. We have Tequila. Tequila, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, well, first we want to welcome you to the Kurobo Shikai Karate Association radio show. And thank you for coming on today and sharing your thoughts or your questions. You go right ahead, Tequila.
On self-defense, my thoughts for young women and women in general, or men, I would say for young girls, I have three girls and a boy. So I know they have never been in, like, any kind of altercations or anything like that, but I think them learning some techniques of how to kind of put their – if that
I hope I didn't lose you. Hello, Tequila?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. It looks like you blanked out for one moment.
Oh, okay. I wonder what happened.
The last thing I heard, you were saying that your children had never been in any kind of altercations, and you were about to say something about them getting some self-defense training.
Yes, before I was muted, they have never been in any altercation, and my thoughts on that would be for any young kids that, you know, a lot of kids think, you know, that because of what they see on TV, they think that, you know, okay, this would never happen to me, but, you know, you never know. And you can come across anything. So, you know, just the techniques of, like, grabbing and the twists, the turns, the grabs, you know. I always look at things that you never know what a person may have on them, or if they can throw, like, dust or something in your eyes, you know.
Of course.
Is there, you know, I've always wondered I think it's another good way of teaching kids is how to pick up on their senses. Just like being in a dark room, you know, how to sense your way around if you was blindfolded, you know what I mean? How to, you know, be able to sense your attacker in that area. You know, I think that would be, you know, I know that's probably kind of that's different.
Exactly what you're saying, that there's a heightened awareness of your surroundings and situation.
Exactly.
And I'll say this, that in response, that, you know, that's the difference, really, one of the biggest differences between an ongoing martial arts program. For example, someone who starts out as a white belt, they have a goal to go on through, maybe become black belt and, you know, and add that as a lifelong or a part of their life, as opposed to a self-defense class. The self-defense class is designed more to get that person psychologically ready and then add some physical techniques that can help them to do two things. Stop themselves from getting hurt or killed and get away. Those are the two primary objectives of a self-defense class. It's not supposed to be for that person to be able to stand toe-to-toe and go into mortal combat with, you know, with their assailant. It's to get away. It's to get to safety as soon as possible to stop the attacker's effect on that, any lethal or damaging effect on them. So as you say, you want to add to that?
Yes, I wanted to say she said something earlier too in her, in what she was saying. We have what we call the six principles. We have principles and aspects and different mental drills that go within our curriculum. One of them is the six principles. And in that six principle, one of those things are a student of karate must learn to see all things. A student of karate must learn to hear all things. A student of karate must learn to defend from any position. A student of karate must learn to attack from any position. A student of karate must learn to sense any dangerous situation. A student of karate must learn to pay attention to all his surroundings. All of those principles give them something to think about when they're in a certain situation, to attack from any position, to defend from any position. So when those children are learning those different aspects, they are aware of what's going on around them with those different type of situations, sensing what's going on, as she stated earlier. When you are able to sense a dangerous situation, you don't want to get involved in that altercation. You want to know, hey, look, time to go the other way, or time to just stand still, or listen, or pay attention, see if it's going to go any further. So knowing that, and another one that we have is there's little or no defense against the element of surprise. So if somebody surprises you, there's, you know, it doesn't matter how much martial arts you've been trained for. If you're attacked and don't, you know, from the rear, or you don't know somebody's going to jump out on you, there's little or no defense against that. Only what you know after they jump out on you. Then that's where the self-defense part comes in. But that's when you know these things that help you in these different situations.
This is Matt Haywood. I'm sorry. I didn't want
to.
We're not at a break or anything, but we have a couple of other callers on the line. One is Grandmaster Cijo out of Milwaukee. He's on the line, and then we also have a young lady by the name of Brittany. She's on the line, and there's a young man, I think he's still on the line, to check again, named Ray. But I'll bring in Dr. Cijo.
Wait, before you do that, the lady that was just on, did we get a chance to answer your questions?
Well, that's fine. Let me put her back on real quick. Okay, Tequila, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Tequila. Hey, did that pretty much was that a decent response for you? Do you have a follow up question on that?
Yeah, that pretty much answered it. You know, that's like, you know, I agree with what he said as far as like the element of surprise, because that's what I was, you know, basing that around. You know, because, you know, with the techniques and everything, you know, you never know what can happen, and you know, you could be in a different situation and something can happen, and even though you can be attacked, you know, like I say, dust can be thrown in your eyes. It can be, you know, weather. It can be, you can slip down, you know what I mean? Anything can happen, but, you know, my thing is your mental alertness.
That's right.
Your senses are always going to be heightened, where, you know, you're going to be aware of your surroundings, because you're going to be looking around to see, okay, well, I have one person coming at me this way, but who knows what's going to come from the left, the right. So while you're still trying to get away, you know, you're trying to find your escape route as well.
Well, we want to thank you for your comments. And definitely keep calling in. We're here. You know we're live every other Sunday. We want to hear from you.
You're always welcome.
You more.
Okay.
So at this point, Grandmaster Cijo. You with us, Grandmaster Cijo?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hey, welcome to the program. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right. If you've been listening in, you know we've been talking about self-defense training, considerations that some of the people who might be thinking about doing this and have never done it before might think they might need to consider, or things they might need to know about self-defense training, purely self-defense training as opposed to a long-term program in martial arts. Go right ahead.
Okay. So we're comparing the two?
Well, actually, what we're talking about is some things that a person would consider when they're getting ready to take. For example, all right, we were just talking about situational awareness when, you know, in going into maybe going into an area or going into a situation where you may be vulnerable for attack, or that someone who is an assailant might consider an easier place to attack. You know, those kind of having those kinds of things in mind and understanding those things, how important that might be to the training that you receive in self-defense, as opposed to just techniques to use, for example. Yes, hi. Are
yes.
you there? Okay.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
So Michael, so my question to you is, and I posed this question at the beginning of the show, what do you think is the benefit of a short term, say for instance a workshop, as opposed to someone who decides, okay, I'm going to study karate, I'm going to be a karate student, I'm going to go on through and get my black belt. The person who says, I just want to take a workshop, a self defense workshop, because I want to learn how to, you know, get out of a dangerous situation. What do you think the benefit that they can gain from that might be?
Okay.
Or do you feel like they can gain any?
Okay, here goes. To do something short term, meaning one time, can introduce you to a particular thing, but it doesn't necessarily make you efficient at it. You can be aware of what you need to do, but we do know that repetition, perfect repetition of certain things brings about a certain level of perfection for that individual. So there is a great need to perfect certain things that only comes from continual practice, as opposed to, well, if that be the case, well, then one can go to a workshop and be a preacher, a painter, and, you know, whatever the case may be, and there's no need for prolonged schooling. Hell, you go to one psychology class. Okay, now I'm a psychologist. No, it doesn't work like that. So I think an introductory course can make you aware of some things, but we're nothing. We're not anything that we say we are until we've done it for a while. And we've done it to a point that we can, you know, demonstrate it and also instruct or teach it. Then I can say, you are that. You've gained that knowledge. So therefore, you are. But I'm not going to knock a introductory course to help one become aware of, but once you can go into it expecting the benefits of a long-term student of the martial arts. And then, last, once you are a student, you're forever a student. So teachers learn from their students, and we learn from other teachers. We're learning from life. We're learning from reading. And so it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I pose that question is because there's a lot of advertising, a lot of marketing out with regard to self-defense classes. There are a lot of YouTubes, a lot of videos and DVDs and things like that are marketed and sold. And they tend to kind of in some ways give the impression that a person could just ingest that one piece of information and material and from that point on be able to quote defend themselves or to quote get out of a dangerous situation. And I think some of the responses that we're getting here today help to reinforce the fact that there's a little more to it. And if it's important enough to spend any time with, it's important enough to spend the right kind of time with. But we're getting ready to go to a short break. And please stay with us. Stay with us, Grandmaster Cijo. I understand we have a caller, Brittany, on the line. We have maybe another caller on the line. So stay with us till after this short break, and we will be right back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There are many important numbers in our lives. A birth date, the address where a cherished family event will happen. Winning lotto numbers would be great to have, but there is one number that we should all have at our fingertips. That number is 800-222-1222, because that is the number to the Poison Center anywhere in the United States. 800-222-1222 will get you immediate assistance for exactly what to do in the event that someone is poisoned. Children 6 and under are, of course, at risk, so we keep those cleaning chemicals locked out of reach. But did you know that twice the number of children are poisoned each year by cosmetic and personal care items? There's a substantial number of accidental poisonings among teenagers due to sometimes well-meaning prescription drug sharing. That's why everyone, especially everyone with a phone, should have 800-222-1222 saved and readily available. The next successful rescue could be yours.
And we're back. We're winding down to our final segment. This has been a great show, I hope, by all accounts. I think it's been very interesting dialogue. And of course, we're going to continue this on our next show. We're going to continue on the same topic line. But for those of you who maybe have a chance to call in, we've got about 10 minutes left. It's going to be 347-989-1016. But we are also coming back with Brittany is on the line. And I think Brittany's been on our show before, and we want to welcome her back to the line. Brittany, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello?
Hi, we have Brittany.
Hello? Hello?
Grandmaster CJ, you're still with us, right?
Yes,
yes
I am.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yes, it's Brittany. I'm here.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, are you on the station?
This is Brittany. I'm here.
Okay, you must be in the screening room right now because I don't hear anybody else talking right now.
I'm here too.
No, we're not in the screen. No, we're not in the screen. We're actually on live on the air.
Okay, we possibly have lost Master Dali.
Okay, well, do you have a Brittany? What is your question?
Hello,
Brittany. Yes, Brittany. What is your question?
Well, for me, I'm a parent, I'm a single mom of two, and as far as the protection, what if someone doesn't want to do a prolonged course? What if they just want something quick, not something quick, but something enough, just to learn just enough to defend myself? Is it like a prolonged class really necessary?
No, I don't think a prolonged class is necessary. I think an introductory class is good for some people. It works for some people. And prolonged classes work for other people.
Yes.
You can use these prolonged questions, you can use the, hello? The seminars, so you can go out and seek some karate schools and martial arts schools.
Okay, so we're back on. Looks like we had a little small technical. Brittany, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Brittany.
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah,
I thought
her question
I heard a
was being answered by.
Welcome to the show. It's good to hear from you again.
Hi.
Yeah, she asked a question a few minutes ago. Is there a need? Which would be best?
Brittany, what was your comment or question?
My question was, I'm a college student. I'm a single mother of two. Is a prolonged course.
Brittany, what was your comment or question?
A prolonged. Can you hear me?
Looks like we're having a little technical difficulty here.
Well,
Brittany,
can
you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. What was your comment or question?
My question was I'm very busy. I'm a single parent of two children.
I think we have a little background noise.
Can you hear me now?
I think we're kind of in and out there. Well, I can
I apologize. I don't know if it's the line.
I think we have a technical problem right now.
Difficulty in the
Dudley, can you hear me?
Other type of technical difficulty, but I think they're kind of going in and out.
I think it's on your end,
Grandmaster C. Joe. Are you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Mr. Baywood. Master Haywood, are you still there?
Yes, just go ahead and proceed.
I don't think Dudley can hear us.
Bishop Haywood.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
I can hear Brittany.
We should
I can hear Brittany. I can hear you. I don't know if the other gentleman can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear Brittany as well. This is CJ. Oh,
okay.
I can hear Brittany clear.
I don't think Dudley can hear her, Master Dudley.
We need to move on and continue to answer the question.
Let me go ahead and answer the question. You know, right now, I don't think the answer to that question is you can go to seminars and you can go to a martial arts school.
We should probably go to a break right now while we're working out the technical difficulties.
You can go and seek a dojo. And some of these dojos or karate schools, they have personal or individual training for different students. So it's say that you want to go to a martial arts school. Say, hey, look, I just want to learn some basic techniques just in case, you know, I don't have time right now because I'm a college student and I want to just learn a few techniques. If I can just get an hour of one of the instructors' time to teach me to find out what it will cost for that. A lot of schools do offer personal individual time. So
okay.
that would answer your question. You know, but you would have to shop around to find that school or dojo.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you for answering my question.
I apologize for the technical difficulties. I really wanted to ask that question a little better because you can go out and find some in your local area that are willing to work with you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And also, I would say go online. Go to YouTube and look up women's self-defense techniques, you know, and that would help you also.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, then
I'll
do that.
Thanks for calling it again, Brittany.
All right. You guys have a good night.
And look, one more thing, Brittany. Once you go and do that, come back and let us know how it worked out for you.
I definitely will, because that is something I'm interested in. That's something I can definitely give you guys an update on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks again. And so we're down to about 5 minutes in the show. And we had some really good dialogue on the issue of starting in a self-defense program. I think we could probably summarize by saying that some of the expectations that a person might have is that whatever you get in the beginning should be thought of as an introduction, should be thought of as a starting place, and not expecting to walk into a program that's maybe a workshop or a one-day situation and then be totally prepared after that. That probably is not going to happen unless you've had some prior training or some prior experience. Would you agree with that, Grandmaster Haywood?
Yes, I would agree with that.
I'll pass that around the board. Any final notes?
Yeah, I'd like to add that when you're seeking self defense classes or inquiring about self defense, keep in mind that you know you want to choose a school or choose a facility that may offer such as a YMCA. They may offer that or some sort of a program within your community. They may offer some sort of self-defense. You want to look at who's teaching the course, and you also want to keep in mind that your natural instincts may kick in too as you train self-defense. You know, as they mentioned earlier in the show, you know, you the way you train your body or the way you would learn exercises, things of that nature. It may enhance, you know, your agility. It may enhance your self-esteem. You know, there's a lot that can come out of it, as you know, as opposed to just the self-defense training. So,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Your body is a plus for your body. It's a plus for your mental and as well
we're
as
down
your spiritual.
To three. Listen, this is so. The thing. We're down to 3 minutes, and we do have one more caller that's been actually hanging on for a while. Her name is Kirwana. And,
oh,
know,
that's wonderful.
She has a question, so I think maybe if we could real quickly hear her question. Her name is Kirwana.
Yes, we'd be glad to fit her in. Hi, Kirwana. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
You go ahead with your comment and question. I know we're pretty short, but we're going to try to get it in tonight. Go right ahead.
Hi. Well, my question is there a self-defense limit for a woman who's bind up with someone and try to protect herself? Is there a limit to the self-defense that I can use to protect myself?
Well,
like, what would be the...
Go ahead. Let me start to answer that question. I'm going to pass that around real quick, but let me start to answer that question. When you're in a life or death situation, then there is no limit to what you use to try to get free, or to get to safety. You use your voice to make yourself to make it public that someone's trying to hurt you. You use everything, every means at your disposal. The taking the training helps you to be able to sharpen your or to get a better handle on how to use your natural tools and so forth. But there's also your natural, you know, readily available weapons, spray, keys, whatever you have. But I'm going to pass that around as we only have a little bit of time. Come on, Grant and Grandmaster Haywood, any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. like you said, there's no limit to it. But you, if you are in a situation like that, you should know ahead of time or learn something. You know, I already know that you probably know how to fight a little bit or a lot, but there is no perfect way to defend yourself for that situation, you know. So, Master Alexander?
You have to keep in mind that self-defense and fighting on the street is brutal. There's nothing pretty about it. And, you know, you use your elbows, you use your finger jabs, you're using, you know, your blocks and forearm blocks. You know, you're using your knees. All of those are weapons on your body. They're transforming into weapons on your body. So you learn that in a setting, in a class setting. It'll get put into a perspective that, you know, you can use that training to get away from an assailant, from an attacker.
And I want to add finally that you want to look for signs of those things happen, signs of a possible aggressive act coming towards you. Look for the signs first, and start thinking about how to get away from it. Then start thinking about how to separate yourself from that.
Okay, I hear you guys keep saying in training. So what if someone like me? I've never had the training before. I've never been in a self defense class. So you would suggest that I get in a self-defense class to learn these techniques?
To learn the techniques, you definitely want to get to a self-defense class to learn techniques. But some of it, there's a balance. Some of it is common sense. Some of it is strategic thinking. You know, when you think about what, you know, the situations where the most dangerous things happen, and some of it is learning those techniques. But we're out of time now, unfortunately. But we're going to continue this topic next week. You can please join back with us, because it's wonderful to have you in for this dialogue. We want to get you in early so we can talk about it a little more.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
All right. So folks, thank you for tuning in to us and for calling in today to the Kuruma Shikai Karate Association radio show. We'll be back live in 2 weeks, the Sunday after next, to continue this topic on our show. I want to thank Grandmaster Haywood, Grandmaster Sijo, and Master Derek for coming in. And as always, thank Bishop Master Haywood for keeping our engineering going. All of you, we want to wish you the best this week. Blessings and ush.